Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord God. We honor you. Father, we lift up this offering today for everyone that gave and everyone that wanted to give but may not have been able to. God, we ask as we lift this offering up into the jurisdiction of heaven, Lord, we pray that just as you multiplied the loaves and bread, we speak that this money will be multiplied supernaturally for this body and for every person that gave. Father, we ask for money to appear in wallets. God, we ask for money to appear in drawers, money to appear in bank accounts, money to appear like just not even expected. We call forth those treasures hidden in secret places. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you. And I'm going to open up before our prophet comes up here and delivers a very powerful word. And I wanted to, again, I wanted to welcome all the guests that have come today. And we want to thank you for coming. And Chris, if you could put a soft song in the background and soften the light just a little bit. I still have to get used to like speaking, you know, like out publicly with bright lights, you know. You know, like when I first went into the dance ministry, and this is back at Living Word Church, I had a Catholic background, so the idea of dancing was like, whoa. Well, anyways, and these people could flow, and there's my friend had her daughter, and she would flow like an angel across the room. Well, every time I'd go to dance practice on the way home, I would weep the whole way home. And in order to get us all to dance during practice, they would dim the lights so we couldn't see each other. And mostly so no one would see you, you know. Not that really people cared, but you know what I mean. You just felt very awkward. And so now I'm more liberated. And right, Shawnee, I used to go back to Living Word church days. And Miss Lily, I went to church back then with her. But I wanted to release the words that God gave me for the year 2014. And I forgot my reading glasses. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to go kind of quickly so that I can release the rest of this service to Pastor Tina. The first word that he gave me is that this is the year of divine alignment for the divine hookup of God's presence and promises to manifest in your life. But number one, this is the year of divine alignment. And I wanted to share with you, Augusta Perez had a visitation by an angel. And the angel came to him and was like face to face, mouth to mouth. And he said, it's time for alignment. And he says, it's time for your body to line up with your soul and spirit. Now, if you are out of alignment, that just like when you drive a car, and the car's out of alignment, it will take you off the path that you want to be on. You'll be fighting to get control of that vehicle to stay on the path that you intend for it to go on. It'll have like a mind of its own. Have you ever pushed a car to the grocery store and the wheel is off? It's out of alignment. And you'll just steer to the left even though you don't want to go to that path. Well, this is the year of the secret place anointing, and the number one way to become aligned is you must be aligned with the Lord first. You must have your spirit man aligned with his spirit. We are supposed to be one with the Lord. We're supposed to be, we're engaged with the Lord when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. So the first thing we have to do is get aligned with the Lord and where our soul is out of alignment. If our soul is pulling us in a direction off the path of life that God has for us, and it could be depression that's pulling us off. It could be fear. It could be it could also be our flesh, our body not wanting to get into prayer, our body not wanting to our body wanting to be on the computer for long hours, our body wanting to be on the phone for long hours. There is this powerful verse And it's in Mark chapter 4, and it's verse 19, and it's the Amplified Version. And I'll just going to read that to you. And it says, then the cares, and this is the third soil of the four soils, and Jesus said, I give you the secrets to the kingdom of God in this parable. And he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the other parables. So it says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age pulling you off, the cares pulling you off out of alignment, the pleasures and delights and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. False glamour. Can't you see our cell phones could be false glamour? Our computers, all the technology, and the deceitfulness of riches, the passionate desire for other things, it says it creeps in, and it chokes out the word of God. In other words, just like the Laodicean church, in Revelation chapter 3, it says, you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out, but you do not realize that you're lukewarm and that you think that you're rich. You have lots of wealth. You think that you're rich, but you're poor, you're pitiful, you're blind, and you're naked. Isn't that powerful? So can't you see how the Laodicean church and Mark 4:19 are going together? The pleasures of this world. How about false glamour of movies? False glamour of television? False glamour of if you just even go into the grocery store and see the delectables that are out there. I mean, all the food, you're like, wow, that could definitely pull you. And so, anyways, it says it comes in. It chokes and suffocates the word and makes it fruitless. Fruitless, lukewarm. Fruitless, lukewarm. And so, anyways, ask the Lord. The number one thing is that we've got to get in the presence of God first. We got to get lined up in a personal relationship with Him first. Number two, He said, this is the season of a disciplined prayer life. Say, this is the season of a disciplined prayer life. I woke up in the morning and I heard this verse as soon as I woke up. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all days is near. Therefore, be disciplined, alert, self-controlled, so that you can pray. In other words, he says, be disciplined so that you can pray. Say, be disciplined so that you can pray. You remember Mark 4:19, the distractions. We have to say no and say, you know what? God, I love you more. I love you more than watching television. Maybe if that's the thing. I love you more than watching movies. Not to say that that's not okay. I'm just saying keep it in the right balance. Be sure that you're spending equal time, if not more time, with the Lord. In Luke 5:16, the other verse for that was Jesus often. Say often. Often means all the time. Withdrew to lonely places to pray. And Mark 4:37-38, my last verse for this one, is Jesus told his disciples. Now, the end of all days is near for him. And this is what he's telling them to do. Could you not keep awake and watch and pray for 1 hour? Keep awake and watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus said, he gave an example. Can't you watch and pray for 1 hour? So out of anything that you could do this year, I want to encourage you to set the goal to pray. And prayer means the word of God, fellowship with God, worship with God, not just praying, but can't you set aside some time with the Lord, at least an hour a day? Ask him to give you that grace. And number three, for 2014, this is the season of listening and following the voice of the Lord. Jesus went into the lonely places or the wilderness because that was his secret place. And it was free of distractions. Now, why would Jesus teach the disciples when you go to pray in Matthew 6:4, go in to the secret place, go into your closet, go into the most inner closed room of your house? Because then when you're just in there, then there's no distractions. Then you can start hearing the voice of God. Now, the people that were in 911, that heard the voice of God escaped. We got to learn how to hear his voice. But if we're listening to the TV all the time, if we're listening to music all the time, then how are we going to develop the listening voice of God? Now, as prophets or in the prophetic, we want to turn off our mind like a faucet. And we want to turn on our spirit and start listening. In Mark chapter 4, and in Isaiah, it says that the people's eyes were blind, they could not see. Their ears, they were deaf, they couldn't hear. And he was saying spiritually, because Psalm 115 and Psalm 135 says, whatever you put before the Lord, when you put idols before the Lord that cannot hear and cannot see, you become like whatever you're beholding. And your spiritual senses will be dull. Think of Laodicean church. They were neutralized in the spirit. Can you think how important it is for the end days for us to be able to see and hear? You develop that in your prayer closet and learn how to hear his voice until his voice is louder than all other voices, including your flesh. The Lord said, we're coming into the home stretch and it's time to prepare to learn how to walk with the Lord on a day by day, moment by moment basis. That's going to become critical. Very critical. The gift of discernment is one of those keys. In Isaiah, it says he wakens me morning by morning to listen as one being taught of the Lord. And the final nugget on that, was Kenneth Hagin had a visitation of the Lord, and he pulled his chair up to the bed and he told him, he said, no, you're not to go to that church. Well, he had been trying to write this letter 3 times to accept an invitation to go to this church, but he just couldn't do it. And the Lord said, this is the only time that I will appear to you and say, don't do this or don't do that. He said, from now on, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. And when you know it's God, you'll feel a velvety feeling inside of you. So we will, and if you don't feel a peace about something, it says, let peace be the umpire of your heart. It says that we will go out with joy and be led forth by peace. Sometimes God will speak, but sometimes he will lead us. We'll hear that still small voice. And remember Elijah, he was on top of the mountain and the Lord had the fire and he had the earthquake. And then he heard the still small whisper. That's the voice of God. Whatever you feed the most is what's going to be the loudest. You got to get your spirit man strong. You got to get your spirit man strong. Remember Esau. He sold his birthright for food. Esau. Think about Solomon. He got pulled out. He lost it because of his flesh, because of the riches and the wives. The Lord said, don't take the wives. Don't have too many wives. And definitely don't marry foreign wives. They'll turn your heart. And it turned his heart. He had everything and he lost it. The Laodicean church, they thought they were rich, but they were spiritually, this is what the Lord told me, they're spiritually bankrupt. Because if you are not connected to God and stand firm to the end, you've lost it all. But if you are, even if you don't see riches manifesting in your life right now, I want to tell you that when you're walking with the Lord, you love the Lord, you are wealthy and you are very rich. Okay, number four. This is the season to corral the flesh. Like you would corral a horse. Where you say, where you get that horse and you get him into a smaller space. When a horse is bucking, you want to talk softly to the horse and you want to try and get the horse into a more confined space. Secret place, confined space, secret place. And you want to get a hold of that flesh, and you want to start speaking the word of God to the flesh. Now, if you will fast, fasting, it says, humbles the soul, but it'll also start shutting down the operation of the flesh. You want the spirit to be ascendancy over the flesh. And this is the word God gave me. The Lord says, and he had given this to me personally, and I'm also sharing this corporately. The Lord says, move your flesh and don't let your flesh move you. Discipline your flesh and rule over it. Don't let it rule over you. Rule over your flesh and desires. Put a lid on anything that's not of him. Cap it, stop it, kill it, flee it, cast it off, get rid of it. Take dominion and authority over it. And the verses for this word is 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep my body and bring it under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27 NIV. I buffet my body and discipline it and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. We can't let our emotions rule us. We can't let our flesh rule us. And so how do you do that? Go into your prayer closet again and ask God to shine a light. There's this verse that says he shines his light in our hearts. Take that flashlight. Say, God, I take your Holy Ghost flashlight. Shine the light in my heart. God, show me anything. Show me where I'm missing it. I was missing it with the Lord because I wasn't fully aligned with giving myself time with God, quiet time, shut down time to hear his voice. But as my spirit man was weak, but as I started feeding my spirit the word of God and feeding my spirit through worship and feeding my spirit through seeking the Lord, my spirit man started getting strong. And then all of a sudden I could start to hear, well, Sharon, you missed it. I was like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? He'll start speaking to you. But if you don't have any desire to get into the prayer closet, it can mean that your spirit man is skinny. Now, we don't mind having a skinny body, but we definitely want to have a bulk spirit man. In Jesus' name. And then set boundaries for your flesh. And this was another key, is that if you like being on the computer, for example, or like watching a movie, for example, just don't do it every night or set a limit. It may be that you spend 30 minutes on the computer instead of 2-3 hours. And give God the first offering. Go in your prayer closet first, maybe in that evening. You know, if it's 30 minutes or an hour, maybe before you do some of the other things. Does that make sense? Set limits on your flesh. Set limits on your soul. We don't want the enemy to have any foothold, to have any hook in our flesh. We don't want anything to pull us out of this final end time harvest, because the ones that are willing to go through the consecration now, there's a great glory that's coming. And when we get our garbage out of our trunk, then he can fill it. There will be room for him to fill us with his glory. The fifth word that I had for this season is to dig down deep into the Word of God and Christ and lay our foundation on the rock. Luke 6:47 was the verse for this. And Jesus said, "She who hears my word and puts them into practice is like a woman who built her house, who in building her house dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came and the torrent struck, the wind, the rain, the house could not shake because it was well built." That was verse Luke 6:47. This is the season to dig down deep into the Word of God and Christ and lay our foundation on the rock. Don't forget what the Lord told Joshua when he's going in the promised land, Joshua 1:8. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it," which is Haggah. "Recite it, speak it, ponder it, imagine it, roar it, both day and night, then you'll have success." Remember, Samson got taken out from his flesh, but Joseph was still connected, aligned with the Lord. His spirit man was strong. He didn't get pulled out. We got to get grounded in the Word now, because even though everything looks peaceful somewhat on the outside in the world, when the storm hits, we're not going to have that time to prepare. We got to prepare now. We got to be like Noah now and build the ark. And in Colossians 3:6, it says, "Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith and overflowing with thankfulness." Okay, number six. This is the season of consecration and preparation for the Lord's return. And the scripture verse for that is Exodus 19:10. "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready on the third day." We're in the third day. Get ready. Get ready. He's going to come in an instant. And finally, number seven, as Pastor Tina gets ready to come up, this is the season to get strong in the Word and in the power of his might. Eat the Word, speak the Word, recite the Word, meditate on the Word till it gets deep down in your spirit. Because remember in James, only the engrafted Word can deliver our soul. And 1 John 2:14, "You are strong, the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." Okay, thank you and God bless you.
Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. If you come in agreement and you believe everything that the woman of God, Sharon, has just spoken, why don't you give a round of applause? You need to give a round of applause for the glory of God. You ought to applause God for speaking to you even right now. When all hell is breaking loose and things ain't proper, God has sent somebody. Sometimes you're not even expecting to hear what you need to hear, but you can come into a place and hear. And how many know that one word will change your entire life? I was driving here and an electric shock started hitting me in the car. Come on and give God some praise. Because he told me that today was going to be a day of change. He told me that today he could transform somebody in a twinkling of my eye. He said that people would change literally in the seats before you even got to the car. Come on and give God some praise. I'm already standing and prophetically speaking. It's up to you to receive as the words of life come out of me. I can't pay you to receive. You got to just know the price have already been paid. The Lord said that he would make the change of an instant. That means that things can happen while you're sitting down. Come on, somebody. I'm not looking for an excitement. I'm not here to hype anybody. We're not trying to get any money out of you. We're trying to get you on the right path and going into, we're trying to get a 2014 to be the most best year that you ever lived before in your life. We're trying to make an announcement that 2014 is going to be such a year that it's going to blow your mind. We're trying to lay a foundation from the apostle down to the babysitter upstairs. Come on and give God a praise. It's up to you to receive. Can't nobody pay you to receive. Nobody's going to beg you to receive. You're going to have to sit there and unlock what you locked and unlock it and say, my heart and my mind, my soul is going to receive from God. You ought to give that word a round of applause because God is teaching us how to stay with him. Come on, somebody. The neighbors know how to fall out with him, but the church better learn how to stay with him. God, come on and bless him. I need the hallelujah. I need the amen. I need folks here to receive it. I need people. I need people that's alive. I've been around enough dead people for a long time. I need to know, are you living? Are you awake? I told my mother the other night, I said, God say, people are awake and some people are asleep. That reminds me to the Luke and the hot and the lukewarm. And you don't even know what you are. But today you better figure that thing out, baby. And I'm Jesus, because you have to be awake. Because something is happening to those that kept with it. Come on, somebody. And I come to applause you. There's something about your life, something about your anointing, something about your calling got you in this place today. And I applaud you for walking through the storm the way you walked through your storm to get here today, baby. You are anointed. Only anointed people is being pulled like a... You got to be anointed to be pulled by fire. You got to be led to be pulled. Come on, somebody. But something in you got to stir and feel that something is happening. Hard in the car, I said, I'm talking to a woman of destiny in here. I'm talking to women of destiny. I'm talking to a woman today. A woman, and this is going to be the greatest year because the women have held out. Come on, somebody. The women had did what the men were supposed to do. Come on, somebody. Women mustered up and put on boots and hats and work belts on and just got dirty for the past 4 or 5, 6, whatever it took. It didn't matter if you had to ask them or not. Women did what it took. Oh, my God. The Lord said, I'm talking to a woman of destiny. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to a woman that does what it takes. I'm talking to a woman that don't give up nor faint. I'm talking to a woman of destiny. A woman that is going somewhere. A woman that knows. And God got deep with me. And I'm going to get deep for a minute. He said a woman that felt as though she was weak. But he says, because I was with you, you were strong. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to a woman that thought people were taking advantage of you. But he said, you didn't understand that it was me working with you. Come on, somebody. When you didn't understand why you couldn't have your way, it was a woman that stayed in her place and said, let thine will be done. He said, a woman going into destinies.
Because prices have been paid in this building. We don't have to go and figure out who paid it in the presence of your enemies. He'll lay it out. Thank you, Father. So what am I saying? A woman of destiny said, a woman will go beyond a measure. When nobody else believes, a woman will believe. When the very strongest of men fell in faith, women are able to pick him up and carry him themselves. He showed me the strength of a woman, and the destinies are so great. And the key thing that I'm going to work on is the trust. Because we fell out of a trust. Because of a three-letter word, when somebody uses you, you don't trust them. Don't you know that when you don't trust somebody, it'll make you not trust somebody else? So something can be happening over here to mess you up, and it carries over here. So even at the new place, it be messed up too. But it's something about using a woman. It can destroy her. It can tear her down to pieces, and she'll look good on the outside. And don't want nobody to stand in her sight on the inside. The Lord said to me, the prophetic voice that I release to you, you woman, he told me to tell you, Christ is someone you can trust. See, when you start trusting Christ, everybody has to leave the room. You can't trust Christ in the job, too. Come on. Try it. Try it for a few days and let me know how the job do you. There's a factor of destiny for this year, and it's the trust of the Lord. But it's a place that women have visited before and just gave it all. And people and things and storms and situations have crushed that very factor. And it crushed it to a point that when it's the very hour to trust him, you can't. You can't get to destiny if you don't trust him. I don't care how much you quote these scriptures, because you got to go out there. And when you go out there where I be going, and the day of trust come, I be looking for people. I say, where is so-and-so? You'll touch anything you can touch and feel a trust factor, you'll touch it. You'll touch a baby. Ooh, this baby just feels so good. You can go through a storm and just fix my favorite soup. I think that'll make me better. You will find, women know how to find the trust factors. That favorite blouse, that when I put that shirt on, it just makes me. When I snuck up in that bed and just make that hot cocoa, it just do something to me. Just make everything just seem like it's okay. Women know how to find the trust. But it's been a trust of temporary. And have been a trust that haven't measured up to get you where you're going. And I'm telling you, and I decree that 2014 is where you find trust at in God, is where you're going to find your life at in him. Think about it. You got about 2 seconds. Okay, that's it. Because trust is spiritual. It makes everybody leave the room. And nobody's in there but you and God. He's communicating. And you fight. And then you find something you can trust. And then now everything's okay. progress is not being made because the baby in the hot cocoa and the warm blanket don't produce life. So it makes you back in that same room and tell everything else, go. Get out of here. Don't stand by me. Don't touch me. Don't even pray for me right now. Because I got to trust him. And the minute my heart touches the trust factors in the spiritual realm of God, just like the prophet just said, I'm in alignment. And it doesn't matter because I got a few things that the Lord had me share about what can happen. My key, I don't got but two verses. And the one verse everyone knows, and I just want to decree it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know, he already know about you, the thoughts that I think towards you. He already know about you. That's why he gave me the prophetic word for this year and others, Christ. You're going to tell the name. You're going to tell somebody else. Christ is somebody you can trust. When you become bold enough to tell them, you better trust him. Things are going to change at an instant. We haven't seen enough manifestation because we haven't had enough trust. Because we touch the hot cocoa and the baby and the warm blanket in the bed. Jeremiah towards you says, the Lord, thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Not of evil. In the beginning, I put being used out there by people because being used or taken advantage of or come through something that's not good. And you didn't come properly through the things of being made whole and the trust and falling back in love with God and getting through it the right way. You spit out on the other side. And when you get there, you're there to a new place, but you're all messed up. There's no need of God giving you a new year and ain't nothing new on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. There's no need. We need to just stop the time clock right about now and say, let me get myself together because I got a whole year to get this thing to come on through. I told my mama, this is the month to see the vision, receive the vision, but it's a whole year to opt. It. Come on, somebody, and bless him. Today you can see it and know it and write it, but you got a whole year to just walk straight up into it. You got all the rest. You got another 11 months. You got even this month to come into something brand new in your life. Jesus Christ is someone you can trust. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go. He was talking to Jeremiah, prophet. He was talking to somebody that be going through some stuff. He was talking to him in the middle of Babylon that where things was dark and dim and things wasn't happening the way that Jeremiah perceived them to be happening. That's why you have to go back to the trust. He said, then shall you call upon me and you shall go and pray and I will hearken unto you and you shall seek me and you're going to find me. When you shall search for me with all, see, the only way you're going to find me, you got to do it with all your heart. All your heart, prophetically and spiritually, I'm speaking, is only when it is you and God. You know, I got friends that love their kids to death. Oh, I mean so much, and I love mine, but I stand one with God. It's times I can carry the kids in the prayer closet and lift them and cover them and pray, and it's times that I got to walk in there myself, and can't nobody come. I can't call on nobody. I can't be thinking about the meal I'm going to cook tonight. When I'm trying to build a trust with the one that's going to lead me for 2014. He said, with all your heart, and I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I'm going to turn you away from what you've been through. The Lord hit my spirit and told me that the past 3 to 5 years, even last year, was only a year of an assignment. Some people be thinking they're using the years for their destinies. Only you have to know when it's an assignment and when you're fulfilled in a purpose. And things will happen that have never happened before. There is a difference. I said, Mother, the Lord said the women have completed their assignments. There's women sitting right in here. You have completed an assignment to obtain the destiny. You cannot go into a promise without an assignment. If the Lord prophesy to you, you're going to receive the prophecy. But it has to go through an assignment. And who is a part in participating in that assignment? We are. And the Lord clearly completed many. Somebody is listening. Why don't you give the Lord a hand of praise? Look what he is saying. Because everybody read Jeremiah 29:11, but clearly, this is what he is saying. And I will gather you from all the nations. It's a hard thing being disconnected from family. But you ought to just read about Abraham when he said, just pack up and leave them all. Oh, come on and bless God. I love my mom and I love my daddy too. And my daddy still talk crazy to me when I don't call him on a regular basis. Believe me. But I put him before the Lord because I know who my God is. Come on, somebody. I ain't got it mixed up. And my daddy think he my God, but how many know this heart knows exactly who my God is? Oh, he talks real crazy. Then he calls everybody else and talks crazy to them about me. Then all the texts come through, please call your daddy. And how many know that I pray before I call him? Come on, somebody. I go before my father because I say, you are first in my life. You got me in a proper alignment and things are going on and he don't even understand what's going on. So when I make this phone call, send the power of the anointing to shut him down because he don't control me. I'm controlled by you. Come on, somebody. That's when he said, hey, baby, hey, your daddy just thinking about you. I said, I know your daddy. Clearly, he says, I'm going to bring you out of nations. Some people are going to have a spiritual disconnection between you and a certain nation that you got to come from and disconnect from. Well, you won't have to write letters and texts, and it ain't that deep. Normally, it's just you and God that know it's really happening. Come on and bless God and give God some praise. I've already disconnected from my family because I have a new DNA inside of me. And in order to get the real destiny, I got to stay in the real DNA. So when the cut came, I said, oh, my God, Jesus, hold on. But I still love and fellowship with my family. But in the spiritual realm, I'm in a bloodline of Christ. I'm joint heirs now. Come on, somebody. You got to disconnect to connect. You better know that in the spirit realm. And when somebody giving you trouble and you are controlled by a nation or a family or a group or a support system or whatever have you, God will shut that thing down. Back to Christ is someone you can trust. See that? He's asking to do things that seem like it's going to use you, abuse you. Look like you're going to be on the ground and everybody going to walk on you. But you got to have a thought in your mind on who's using me. Jesus. This is deep. Take a minute. Because some people are getting ready to come into an anointing you never had. Power that you've never seen before. And trust God has to be the banner. It has to be sitting out there. Because things are going to come against the trust of God. Come on, somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost. Things are going to jack with the trust of God. Things are going to try to slap it out of your way. Bring it up out of your spirit. And try to have a way of counterfeiting. And kind of blending things together. And kind of mixing things that it's all good in the hood. Come on, somebody. But at the end of the day, you can't trick the Father. Come on, somebody. My God. At the end of the end, he knows I had you. You ain't sold out yet. You ain't all the way with me. He says, well, I'm afraid. I don't know that place. That's why you have to build on the place of trust. You got to trust the one that saved you. If you believe that he saved you, you ought to be able to trust him all the way. Come on, son. We ain't going to preach the cross today, but I'm going to tell you. And from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. Enough of that verse. It's more in there. It's more depth in there of him bringing you out. In Jeremiah 29:11, don't stop there. Read it, because he is actually going in and he's actually pulling you out. People use that verse for destinies and purposes and plans. But people fail to get to the dirt of the bottom of the bucket to tell you that he actually coming in that captivity and knocking down everybody else to get you. But it's up to you to say, I trust you. I trust you. It's up to you. Because when he come in, everybody has to go. God has plans for you. I released the prophetic map grid. The prophetic map grid is the alignment. When I was driving two Saturdays ago, and I text a few people that I could just say, this is happening, because when I was driving, there was a shift on 290. My car kept straight, but in the atmosphere turned as though the sky had twisted. But it wasn't necessarily the sky twisting. He said, my spirit has turned. So I immediately said, shift. It's here. Everything is shifted. I never had seen it, only felt it here. But I'm driving straight and everything go whoosh, right before me. Fast. It was a twinkle. It was like, boom. And you want to, you blink it because you want to see it again. But you can't. You gotta just be connected to know what just happened. And I sought him. He said, I have aligned my people. I have set in motion my plans. Oh God. The prophetic map grid. It's the map that grace is there, mercy is there, and they're maps and they'll lead you. But it is released to get you where you need to go. He's thinking of good about you and not of evil. He don't have one bad thing to say about you. In fact, what he told you, he's well able to keep his word and perform it. How many people have a word or a promise or something in just you're holding in your spirit, you're holding in your hand, you're holding in your heart? You have it. Raise your hand if you're looking. I just, you know, some people are just, I just pray. I don't just pray. Let me see the hands again. I release the prophetic map to you. The prophetic grid. We open up your gates. We decree that that assignment, with that promise that you got in you, where it took you, we decree that that assignment is complete and done. that you are now ready by faith and trusting God for this promise that you hold to come to pass in Jesus' name. Come on and bless him. We release that. We release that prophetic map. Don't you know it's a map to where you're going? Come on, somebody. You can't just jump out the bed and just start doing stuff. You got to jump out of bed and know where you're going. Come on, somebody. Come on and bless him. My God, you can't just get up and have a bright idea. You got to get up and have his idea. Come on and bless him. He is awesome. And he has a map to where he's taking you. He has a map. And it doesn't matter. Well, I don't know if they going. Don't worry about if they going or not. Because he is God. And he can download every map that needs to be downloaded. Come on, somebody. He can give you a map and start you. And all of a sudden, they get the same map just down the road. Somebody shout, I receive that. Somebody say, I got the map. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's something about following the map, because women got a good way of being creative and crafty them ourselves. Come on, somebody. We know how to dress things up. Come on, somebody. But when God gives the map, we got to trust him to follow him. Come on. This is a year that you will not be led of your own. You will be led of the Lord. You will not have your own ideas. You will have completely his ideas. You will wake up in your old stature, you will wake up in his stature. Come on, somebody. You're not going to be walking with your might. You're going to be walking in his might. Woo, Jesus. I prophetically speak that God is throwing you into destiny, because some people just decided to take their time to cross over. He don't have time for you to take your time. He's going to pick your butt up and take you in the palm of his hands, and he's going to chuck you. He don't have time for you to say, I need a glass of water. Where is the nail person? Who's going to do my hair? He doesn't have time. Because when you get there, they're going to tell you, Joanne, come on in. We've been waiting on somebody like you. He doesn't have that type of time. This is destiny time. Why is it destiny time? Because I completed my assignment. He's gonna throw. Don't be, oh God. He gotta throw me pretty far. It don't matter. Well, for one, I'm overweight passing. It's going to take him and them angels to come and pick me up. Pick me up and throw me. But one thing I know about my God, even when you think he can't throw you, he still throws you. So somebody's like, Lord, I don't know. He said, I don't know. God is going to throw. I perfectly speak. If something just leaped in you about being thrown, raise your hand. I decree a throwing in the spirit. I decree your assigned angels to pick you up from your place and take you to your promise. And that at least you start to die on your map grid. Come on and shout hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus, come on and bless him. I feel an anointing dropping. Somebody is feeling it. Somebody is receiving it. You need God to pick you up right where you are. Jesus. My God. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God. No more will you be afraid to be thrown into your destiny. I'm talking to a woman of destiny right now. Now I feel I'm really with you now. I feel that I'm talking to a woman at the well. Come on, somebody. I feel like I'm talking to a Virgin Mary that got a real an assignment. I feel like I'm talking to Sarah. You thought you couldn't do it, baby, but God is going to do it through you. I'm talking to Deborah. I'm talking to prophets. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to evangelists. I'm talking to the woman that says, this is my year. Hallelujah. Come on, glory, glory, glory. Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout glory. Glory is in this room now. And a divine anointing is in this room. Because God, divine anointment is important. Because God sends a divine anointing. Because he has a divine planning. Come on, somebody. And sometimes things haven't worked in prior years. That has to work in this year. And God will send a divine anointing. And in less than 3 days, things will begin to change all on the inside. Feel glory. That God is dispersing a divine anointing. The divine anointing brings you into a divine plan. And a divine anointing uproots, tear down, and snatches things away from you. Things that you can hear, you, Jesus. You can have it now, Jesus. He said, give it to me in the name of Jesus. This type of anointing is a type of anointing that snatches that thing that you don't know how to give up. This type of anointing, it goes in the middle of your mind, and you're not wavering with your mind. You can wake up and you can think straight in the name of Jesus. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. I release. Somebody's already receiving it because it came out. He said, I have to do a divine anointing upon them because the divine anointing will bring them into my divine plan. God, Father, right now we thank you. Divine plans. What happens when I hit the plans? When you hit the plans, things will begin to be set in motion. Oh my God. And when things are set in motion, this is the year that what's in you will begin to come out of you. And people will look at you crazy. And people won't know your name. And people will think you're somebody else because they're only thinking of one person. That's the one of the other girl. That's the old girl. But this year, woman, people are going to see the new girl. And when the new girl shows up, somebody shout glory. Set. Somebody open their mouth and say, Lord, set me in motion. I'll do it again. Somebody say, Lord, set me in motion. Thank you. You have to at least be in some type of motion. Your motion could be a worship. Your motion could be a praise. Your motion could be a quiet time in a secret place. But when he set you in that motion, everything in that realm belongs to God begins to move in your life. Because the new girl gonna come to town. Because the new girl gonna wake up and the new girl's going home. And the new girl, I'm gonna tell you, it's about 10 women in here today. Trust the Lord that you're gonna have to process this. Can't shout and think that enemy ain't gonna be sitting in your car at the house trying to become familiar to knock you back into an old. You can say it in your heart. This is an old place. I'm set in motion and I refuse to be knocked out of alignment. I decree that you will be able to stay in your motion. The spirit realm. I'm speaking, I take control over the adversaries concerning you. And by way of the Holy Ghost, we decree that we shut them down. We shut all forces. We shut down every airway spirit, all transferring spirits that try to become familiar. And we keep you in the motion of the Lord, in a proper alignment, engaged to his anointing. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I receive that. In this process, pretty girl, new girl, woman of destiny, you're going to see many enemies. You're going to see them. Before, you were denied about it. But now, you're going to have an opportunity to really see them. But guess what he said? But they have nothing to do with your destiny. Listen what he said. Not only do they have nothing to do with your destiny, they can't stop what's already happening. It blew me. Because an enemy is not somebody I really want to see right now. Come on, somebody. But in this new place, you're going to rank higher. And they're going to be a low veil. And that's deep than deep. But you're going to know who's under a low veil. And people that's caught in that veil, they're going to be deceived. And they're not going to understand the new girl. So it don't even matter if it's your close-in partner. It doesn't even matter if y'all play bingo together. It don't even matter if y'all bake every holiday together. It don't matter because the Lord said they can't do nor stop what is already happening. The trust is there in my closing. In the name of Jesus, this is the time, hour, season, day to pluck up all corner weaknesses and to destroy all doubt. A woman for 2014 would not be able to have a corner weakness. Don't even support her. You walk right in there and say, boo, get yourself together. Here. Stop all that crying. Dry your tears. Go in and take a shower. When you get through showering, we're getting ready to go. Because we got places to be. And if they don't want to get up, give them a time. You got 2 minutes to cry. I'm going to go ahead and fix me a sandwich. When I come back, I want you up because we got places to go and we got places to be. Somebody is looking for me. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to tell you, this is the year you're going to find a proper agreement. You're going to find somebody. If you touch their hand, the thing is already done. Come on, somebody. You're going to be like, baby, you got to make it because you my prayer partner. We on the same side. Come on, somebody. We come together in agreement. We make things happen. You know what, baby? When you go down, I go down. So you better get your butt up. You better get up. Yeah. Just not feeling it. Feeling what? Do you tell them, Shawnee? I ain't feeling it either. Let's just go in Jesus' name. I ain't feeling it. But we gotta go. Well, what the? I don't know. But we gotta go. We got places to be and places to go. Don't you know that? People are looking for you. So it ain't time for you to call into that job because you hate it. Baby, put them clothes on. It's time to go. Hello, everybody. I'm back. And they say, well. And where you used to sit and drink the coffee by yourself in that corner, get that coffee and you out that corner. Hey, good morning. How y'all doing this morning? They're not going to know you. But you make it happen anyway. Because he said, you're going to see them, but they have nothing to do with your destiny. Nor can they stop what's already happening. Come on and bless him. It was beautiful the way the Savior told me that even though he was being crucified and the way his enemies came up against him and the way they made him feel. Come on, somebody. He said, though they made me feel like that, they couldn't stop what was already. Come on and bless the Lord. Pluck up all that carnal weakness. Well, last week, this ain't last week. Well, yes. I'm going to release an anointing upon you to drop it in the name of Jesus. And if people are bothered and this thing bothers you less more than a day, I release an anointing that you're able to drop it like it's hot, baby. Pop. People don't believe me when I say I'm good. They say, well, I'm just really sorry about, I'm good. Well, just, I'm good. Why? Because I know how to drop it like it's hot. I don't want that inside of my life. I don't want nothing nagging at me, trying to tell me what somebody else is thinking about me, doing to me, trying to use me when my trust said, God, only you can use me. And right now, when I look to him to be used, I can't see nobody else. So spiritually, when I'm looking to him to use me, and although things are using me out there, I don't really know that this is using me because I'm looking to him, and all I know is that he's using me. You're really not using me. You're helping me. I gotta go home. Come on and bless him. Bless, bless, bless him. Somebody say, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. Lay hands on your own head and say, I receive it. We destroy that carnal weakness. We pluck, he say, pluck it up. And destroy that doubt. Because he said, you will be shocked on where it gets you. The devil don't want you. He wants your future. That's why New Year's is crucial across the nations. Everywhere, the year, the first part of it sets it in motion. And you hear all of what people want to do for the entire. And what Kim said and released to us and say, do it, but do it for throughout the whole year. Because this timing actually set it in motion for you. My God, my God. And the devil now, he don't want to kill you. He don't even want you. He wants your future. I don't know about you, mom. If he wanted to kill me, he would have been able to do it alone. I long just keep going just like this. All my long and your long is different. For me, it go all the way back to my mama's womb. Come on, somebody, and bless God. That's how long he been wanting to take me out and shut me down. But I realize he can't take me out. So if you don't want me, devil, what do you want? He wants your destiny. And that's why you gotta fight. Come on and bless the Lord. I hear an assignment in here. Come on and stand to your feet. There is a ending verse about the trust of the Lord. And we have a few of great intercessors and prophets that's going to help me in sharing, release, and pray. I have visitors. I have people all the way from Bryan College Station that got on the road and drove to say, I got to hear. Come on, somebody. It's not about seeing me. It's about hearing. My God, Jesus. So I just bless the Lord, and we're going to open this up and make it quick for you and give you an understanding that when the word is released, all you got to do is receive it.
Hallelujah. We got some great intercessors, and we want them to be on the altar with us. And we're going to extend it, that if you feel led to go to someone else, come on somebody, it's time to get out of the box. Come on somebody. It's time to go and let somebody else's virtue and anointing pour out on you in Jesus' name. Matthew, how powerful is this? 28. I want to give it to you because the Holy Ghost and I ran. Because this is ending, and then we're going to open. And after I read this verse, Chris, you can give us something, you know, whenever Sharon told you to play. But in 28 and 5, this is very familiar. The angel answered and said unto the woman, like, fear not. I know that you seek Jesus. The women came back to look for Jesus. The women were sold out. They were so sold out that while other people was mourning, they said, we can't even be in here crying. Let's go where he is. Watch what happens. For I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified right before your eyes. He is not here. He is risen. And he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come see that he really did rise. Watch it. Come and look at where they put him. And then you're going to see he's not there. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples. And inside of another amplified, he said, he has risen just as he has said. That's back to the trust. It takes trust to trust Christ. But just like he rose from that place and he couldn't be found, you can trust him that he is well able to do what he said about you. Many men can't keep the promises, earthly promises, sometimes are hard to keep. People say they're going to do something and something comes up. Some things are understandable and some things are just a flop. But I'm telling you about a man named Christ, that he is somebody that if he says it, you can believe it. Why? Because in the beginning of his crucifixion, just as he said, the angel said, he rose just like he told you. That decreed that from that crucifixion rising, you can trust everything that the Lord tells you. Put your hands together if you got that deep revelation. That only means, Joanne, that from the lying down of him to the getting up, he did only what he said he was going to do. Come on and bless him. I'm going to end. The minute you become in agreement with your future, the minute you start believing that you even got a future, oh God, you become as, not like, but as the Virgin Mary, but greater. Because her son has risen. And not only have her son risen, watch this. The Lord said, the minute you believe it, it's like you become as a Mary. You attach yourself to the agreement and plan of your life. You come in agreement, set in motion, and you align yourself with him. You have a trust about yourself that you're trusting in the one that said it. Come on, somebody, watch it. He says, the minute you do that, he said, they're being reminded to me as Mary, my God. And when he said Mary, I knew he was talking about a real woman. Come on, somebody. When he said Mary, I knew that he was serious about it, because he said Mary came into agreement. And because she came into agreement, her son came inside of her. And because her son came inside of her, he is now risen. But watch what he says. Not only is he risen, but now he lives on the inside of you. Come on and bless him. Not only did he get up, he in you. That's another day. That's going too far. That's going too far. But not only is he up, he in. And for somebody that's believing it right now, that his spirit, his life, who he is in you. For you, great is this year for you. Because he said, my father said, my son did great things. But tell my women, greater things shall you do. Because him that has risen, yeah, he's risen, but he lives. That's deep. He's on your everyday schedule. He's on your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner schedule. He lives on the inside, and greater things shall you do. The last thing to release for a woman to know that you're going to see a harvest this year. I don't know what kind of harvest you're going to see, but you're going to see a harvest. And when you see this particular harvest, it's going to come in plenty and many and increase. And you're not going to be able to not see it, have it, or obtain it. The minute that God releases to you what type of harvest, oh my God, that you're getting ready, put your hand on your belly, because God said that you were going to have, receive a harvest. I wouldn't be a real prophet if I assigned your harvest. Come on, somebody. The type of harvest is coming up in your spirit even right now. But one of the harvests that every woman should make it a goal to have, to pray and to see, is a harvest of souls. If you do not pray for the harvest of soul, woe unto you. You have missed the mark, and your 2015 is not going to be as well as your 2014, because you got caught up in the harvest instead of getting caught up in the soul. My God, Jesus. So I guarantee that you're going to see a harvest. But he says there's only one requirement. Don't forget about the souls. What's going to happen is that you will be able to save someone's life. People are in here. God called you a lifeguard. Come on, somebody. God said, I'm setting an anointing on you for you to be a lifeguard. That means that the minute, the second that somebody's getting ready to die, he's going to send you on a mission to save them, baby. That means that God has appointed and anointed your life to be a lifeguard. And where somebody think that they're about to go down, you're going to have a supernatural anointing power to raise them up. Somebody say, I receive it. He said, in the harvest of souls, this is what's going to happen. So if you participate in what I'm saying, you're going to have the harvest of soul covered. Now, I'm not saying that all a million people going to knock out your door. That's not what I'm saying. But in 2014, you should see somebody getting saved. God, Jesus, because the harvest of souls is of importance of the Lord right now. He says today somebody needs to be saved. My God, he said that you are going to set the captive free. You are. This is the harvest of souls. Not only will you set the captives free, you're going to lay hands on the sick.